impressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
It's Dial-A-Dork. Computers, geek girls, sometimes serious technology, and more. Like Fark and Slashdot, but on the air. Brought to you by the Comm Group. That's K-O-M-M Group, you knuckleheads. Affordable office and home computer consulting. Ain't that wonderful? Call 216-578-1300 with your computer or geek-related question. Now here's your Cleveland Dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, everyone. It is radio by nerds for everyone. Broadcasting live,
from
sort of.
The basement.
From the basement of my house in Cleveland, Ohio. My name is Irv. I am your host or your MC or what have you. I am joined tonight by Russ Miller.
Are you sure you're an MC when the ceremonies are in your basement?
Well, I do have an altar set up. Does that count?
Fair enough.
All right. And we are also here, joined here by Dewey, the answer man, Drew Ivan. How are you, Dewey?
I was doing okay till I found out there's going to be a ceremony with an altar.
Yeah, I know. It won't be long, though, I promise.
At least it's not a Catholic podcast.
There's no Eucharist or anything.
That takes forever.
Yeah. Is there any kind of sacrifice, ritual sacrifice that we should know about?
We might sacrifice a piece of computer hardware to the gods.
That would be kind of cool.
We might smash a... I have some old ISA network cards Smash 'em up with.
I seriously wish I still had my old ISA fiber card.
You mean from CrewNet?
Exactly.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sure I turned that back in when I left campus, but if I didn't, I really wish I still had it.
I actually was a bit of a late adopter with my CrewNet connection. For whatever reason, I was too lazy to go down to Crawford or whatever and deal with everything.
Did you not go through the microcomputer ownership program that was in place in the...
I actually elected to purchase my own computer discounted rate. I had a 386 SX, also known as a 386 Sucks.
Sucks, yeah.
Which 386 SX was... different than a regular 386 because...
He used a 16-bit data path instead of 32 bits.
Dag.
Is that what it was?
Wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll have to look that up.
The DX, I think, had the full...
I think we had I had an SX.
The DX was a 486, though, wasn't it?
I thought there was 386, SX, and DX.
Well, I don't recall that.
And then there was the 16, and I had the button that turned it up to 25.
Well, sure.
But that was a year later than you came to case, so...
Yeah, well, and there was the other. My buddy had the 486, and my other buddy had a Macintosh that cost $14,000, and
it
had
$14,000.
$14,000 in 1990, he had a Macintosh that had a 32-bit color, and a laser printer.
Wow,
and a 340 megabyte hard drive.
That's insanely
huge. It was gargantuan. Mine was 65, and
mine was 125. In the year after I came in, it was smaller.
I had 65, and I thought I had,
you had a huge amount of space.
Testes comparable to that of a mountain goat.
Okay.
They have pretty big. I was just at the county fair, so I've
Testes is the rocket company, right?
I came from the county fair yesterday, and I've got farm Estes. Animal testes
got
on the
balls
brain.
Balls on the mind.
I got
the breath, kind of. You step away.
Sorry. In fact, I really got a few farmers really pissed off.
Yeah, so my personal microcomputer, which I bought through the Case Bookstore, was $3,300 after...
$3,300?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
My
386.
My 386 Sucks was...
That's after financing for 4 years.
$1,400 or
$1,700. Adding up all the payment monitor. Mm. I mean, I'm including here what was it, 13-inch color monitor.
Mm. We didn't get any of that
Drew, is your microphone turned off by any chance?
It doesn't seem to
okay,
be.
Okay, well, we didn't get any of that. So ask that again.
What would you pay today for a 386 with a 13-inch monitor?
I think there might be a curve wherein that payment is higher than a Pentium, you know, from 4 years later.
So it's an antique.
Exactly.
I actually disagree. I think
respectfully,
that
I hope?
I very respectfully disagree. I don't think that you would actually have to pay anything for a 386 nowadays. If
that
you could
be
even
true.
If you could even find one. I don't even think they're collectible.
That might be true. Well, at some level
maybe that
of non-collectibility.
Okay, that luggable. The luggable at Nauticon that they put
but somebody somewhere has to have a 386. It's important that somebody does, right?
I think the space shuttle runs on a 386.
The space shuttle. Actually, it's amusing that the technology NASA use is many years out of date because they focus so firmly on reliability.
Well, they certified it once, you know, in 1984.
That's right.
And they don't want to have to go through that again.
Yeah. No, but I think seriously they run Pentium 2 level stuff on the space shuttle.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Well, I mean, you know, if the task is extremely specialized, a Pentium 2 can do quite a bit.
And I'm talking about like laptops.
I've got a Pentium 2 that can run Windows XP without any problem. So
yeah.
You know, I went to a rocket launch. I actually went to an actual launch at Cape Kennedy.
Testies.
It was of the Testies 2.
Awesome.
Space Nuts program. And
baseballs?
No, it was the Testies 2 Playboy TV satellite launch.
What are you talking about?
I'm not. I went to an actual launch of a satellite rocket at Cape Kennedy.
Herb's dad used to blow up Eastern Bloc countries for a living.
Really?
It was more of a hobby. Okay, the point is that I went to this launch, and we got to go into the control room and kind of hover around for a minute, and I noticed that all of the monitors,
blue screens of death.
Well, we're talking 1986 or 7 here, so this is, you know, this is, I think, when there were still televisions and things being made in the United States, and all the monitors were Sony. All the monitors were Sony.
And that was a remarkable thing at that time.
Well, I saw that and I said, you know, I don't know whether to be depressed or impressed. I was depressed because an American company wasn't supplying the monitors. I was impressed, though, that, you know, NASA had the foresight to, you know, go with the best.
Interesting.
At the time, I think Sony was pretty...
Fascinating.
Well, the reverse, I think, is happening these days.
What a good story.
With like China and various foreign countries a little bit worried about going with the Microsoft monopoly for what that might imply.
What might that imply?
That Microsoft could suborn and subvert their precious, I don't know what Germany has going on, but they do banking or something, don't they?
Germany?
Yeah.
They still make a lot of cars.
Yeah, so Microsoft could take over the cars, and then we get that whole, what if Microsoft made cars email coming to life, and that'd be a disaster.
Well, I heard a story, probably apocryphal, that the Soviets back in Soviet days bought a bunch of
computers. In Soviet land?
In the Soviet Union, back in the day.
Yeah.
In the
bought
Soviet
a bunch
Union,
of computers.
The computers buy people.
Right. And
the computer
it procured
buys
them somehow.
You.
And every day at 4 o'clock, they played the American National Anthem. Because they had been pre-infected with a virus that the Americans put on the computer before they left the dock.
Unbelievable.
As part
yeah,
of
yeah, I don't believe it necessarily.
Like a spy thing, like just to let them know.
It's
that
a little gotcha, a little
yeah.
nudge to the ribs there.
Right,
right here, Ivan.
Do you think that would
yes.
be could be confirmed
Drew
or
Ivan.
Denied on?
You might want to check Snopes. But. So that does
virus,
illustrate
I think
that
you want to look up
one at a time. What did you say?
Yeah, what are you going to look up?
I just
I'm
said
looking
look
up
the 4
thing
p.m.
On
virus,
Snopes. But how am I going to what am I searching
exactly
for? What am I searching for here
question.
On Snopes?
So anyway,
look for Russian virus.
If you were a foreign power that wasn't necessarily friendly to the U.S., would you want to trust a monopolistic company within the U.S. to be
absolutely not? That's
to,
what
to be your
that's
supplier
why I brought
of an
it up
system?
In light of the whole Sony NASA thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I said it first.
Hey,
I'll kill you.
I was trying to elucidate it because you said it poorly.
Yeah, it could be true.
Guys, I'm very excited to say that a good friend of mine is tuning in tonight on the IceCast. He just emailed to let us know. My good friend Dave Chun, out on the left coast, as it were, in the Los Angeles area, I do believe.
On the Pacific Rim.
Shout out to Dave.
Yeah, shout out to Dave, indeed.
Pacific Rimming, as we speak.
If there's other listeners out there who wanted to email us, where would they send that email?
Oh, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I completely dropped the ball on that. If you want to get in touch with us, email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com.
Or call Drew's cell phone.
You can call, I would say call Matt's cell phone, but he's not here today.
Why don't we all call Matt's cell phone and ask him where he is?
Well, he's probably sitting in a rowboat on Lake Erie.
A robot?
Not a robot per se, but a robot. Oh, did anybody watch the roast of Pamela Anderson last night?
I didn't get to see it.
No. Unbelievably funny.
I saw Sarah
Absolutely
Silverman's outtake
funny.
For the commercial, and
she is,
again, hilarious. Did anyone see The Aristocrats yet? I saw it last Wednesday.
I haven't seen it yet.
Brilliant.
So, Dave, if you are listening, which you claim that you are, send us a question or a topic or something of interest you might like us to address on tonight's show. Please help us. Okay, so why don't we jump into some of the meat of the things I took all the time and energy and paper and ink to print out.
Coloring, and
yeah, no doubt.
What did Snopes say?
Well, I looked up Russian computer virus on Snopes, and it said no matches.
I see.
So I'll look.
So that
at
means it's true, right?
That's by our definitive research.
Okay, by default, that story is true. Drew wins a prize.
It's a cock punch.
Another one. I'm always winning those.
Interesting news today.
Let's mark this one explicit.
Interesting news today coming out of the browser wars. Firefox market share slipped. Which, you know, could be just,
but marginally,
you know,
a fraction
how much,
of percent.
How much?
0.64.
Well, you know, it could be just a little bump in the road there. I mean,
according to who?
According to Bill Gates, according to Yahoo News, market share for the Mozilla Foundation's open source browser dipped to 8.07% in July from a high of 8.71%. In June, according to Net Applications, which gathered the data from the 40,000 websites it monitors.
So who picked up that market share?
Internet
Microsoft.
Explorer.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Internet Explorer, on the other hand, increased its market share to 87.2% from 86.56%. The Mac browser Safari showed modest growth to 2.13%, while other browsers experienced little change, although I am told that Opera is going to
stop. 0.64% is little change to me.
Yeah, that's statistical anomaly.
Yeah, I suppose
it's
that's true, but I mean...
Anomaly means without a name.
Yeah, I meant signal noise thing.
Well, yeah, I agree that this change is fairly... You know, at the same time, they just topped 80 million downloads, so I mean, I don't know.
But that has to include all the upgrades, too. Like, I've downloaded it 10 times because of their upgrades.
Yeah, 10, not
their
80
patches
million.
And shit.
Don't try to take credit for those downloads, Russ.
Yeah, but if everybody... I mean, what I'm saying is it's not 80 million people.
You're saying it's 8 million people.
8 million people.
Well, here's...
Gotcha.
If that.
0.64%. What is the total market size?
There's approximately 130 different web users.
No. What?
I mean, does the market share matter?
I don't
think
it's such fine, fine grain here on this, though.
Are they going to lose profitability because they lost that market share?
They don't make money, do they?
I know.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't think anybody at Mozilla is sweating over it.
I think it's just curious that it did happen, especially with everything. Well, first of all, they're saying that Opera is going to stop identifying itself as Internet Explorer.
Well, they should have done that ages ago. I don't know why.
So I don't know if that's going to affect this sort of market share thing or not.
Opera has been identifying. Oh, so that sites that require Internet Explorer can...
I don't know why they decided that was a good design decision, but they used to identify themselves as IE.
I think it's so that sites that require Internet Explorer can come up in Opera.
But how does that help? Not like they rendered everything that IE rendered.
For the users, as a courtesy to the users.
It doesn't help them if they can't render it.
Maybe they can render 90% of the sites.
I doubt they can.
A lot of sites just require it just to require it.
I heard the USPTO may be requiring
I heard that too.
IE soon. which would be a vast mistake.
And of course, there's a lot of people are saying that IE7 is going to come like pre-broken.
Now, when is IE7 coming out?
I don't actually have
probably
the
Longhorn
data
to guess.
Longhorn or Vista? Is it Vista or is it coming out with Longhorn?
I think you're right. It's Vista.
But they're saying it's basically already broken and it's not going to cooperate with the standards. And a Microsoft's excuse is that the
they're crushing the enemy.
Well, the standards are only so-called standards.
They're only so-called standards if you pay attention to them. We choose not to. What a load of crap.
They're the ones that are so-calling them standards.
I don't like that attitude at all.
Well, maybe it's like, well, you never asked us. Maybe we don't think they're standards.
I'm sure they were invited to join the panels for making the standards.
Maybe we don't think they're standards. Maybe we think they're sucky.
What? Then they should say, here's why we think these standards are wrong. We can give increased functionality. They shouldn't say the standards are crap.
I don't think they say the standards are crap per se. I think maybe they're just saying it's premature to refer to them as standards. They're not standardized.
But they become standards when they're agreed upon by the people that implement browsers.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that really
There's
how
no
it goes?
There's no other way for them to become standards.
I thought that they had to get a sticker.
They have the stickers is the problem. People aren't making browsers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Only the conscientious people are.
Incidentally, speaking of something other than browsers.
Which we weren't.
Fair enough.
I wanted to mention that a week or two ago, Yahoo made an announcement, if I do believe, that they had increased their searching landscape to 20 billion
items. 20 billion pages.
More than double the number of pages that Google.
Something Google
claims. So 8 billion for Google and 20 billion for Yahoo. Well, this was very interesting, and I think Google's initial reaction was, no, they were more like, please. I mean, whatever. And
they're like, talk to the hand.
Watch out, that thing might... Okay, it does. I was going to say, Russ, if you're going to lift weights, make sure it has the little clasp on the end.
Make
it
sure
does.
It's the girl weights.
Yeah. Well, look, so anyway, the let's see. At the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and the National Center for Supercomputing...
Shampoo banana.
That's where Mosaic came from, isn't it?
The National Center for Supercomputing Applications, NCSA Mosaic?
Yeah.
Yeah. The NCSA... says here, on August 8th, 2005, Tim Mayer of Yahoo posted on the Yahoo search blog that the Yahoo index now provides access to over 20 billion items, which include 19 billion and change web documents, 1.5 billion.
He's like, no way.
1.5 billion images and over 50 million audio and video files. And then the NCSA decided to actually test those claims.
Good on them.
Ooh, you know, we just lost you again, I think.
It ain't my fault, man.
Okay, I know that microphone.
I'm all over it.
It's sucking.
I gotta get some electrical tape on that bad boy.
I was laying around. Why'd you give me this one?
You picked that one up.
You picked that one up.
I think actually I handed that one to you. That's
if you
my
want,
bad.
You can try that one if you like, but you gotta talk right into that one. And I know you're having trouble with that.
How's this one?
That's good.
Really?
Yeah.
Turn the other one off.
Yes, sir.
Stop sucking.
And quit making all those clicks.
Hey, is this any better?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I switched it from low imp to high imp.
High imp.
Where I come from, we call people like you Ricky Retardo.
Dave Chun.
That's both racist and denigrating to people with special needs, Russ.
Dave
Where
Chun.
Do you come from?
I'm dumb.
Dave Chun wrote in with his first question, and I have to say that it's only a question that I can answer. The question is, do you like apples? And the answer is, oh, take me. So, Dave, thank you very, very much for that. And
I like them apples.
I win a prize. Okay.
That's got to be a good
Here is the methodology for testing this claim, this bold claim by Yahoo.
Why is it a methodology, not just a method?
Well, a methodology is something that business students use.
Why is it utilized instead of use?
Yeah. Why would you orientate someone when you can just orient their ass?
Why is it functionality
exactly.
instead of functions?
Why can't you just have fun? Yeah, I was going to say that one.
You need to step it up.
Well, why is it? Why do I go to the bathroom for poopology?
Do you do that?
Do you do the do?
How come Paula Abdul sang about vibology instead of just vibe? Damn it. All right, listen. The method and or methodology of this confirmation or lack thereof. Here's what they did.
Just confirm it. We don't need any confirmation.
Well, basically, they used an engine to create a crap load of queries that they ran against the Yahoo search engine and the Google search engine.
Which could be a biased sample. Who knows how they did that?
Well, you know, they used the English iSpell word list, a total of 135,000 words, and wrote a Perl script to randomly select two words at a time from that list.
Perl.
The script then used those keywords to search both Yahoo and Google and log the number of results returned. For the purpose of this study, we used a sample of 10,000 different searches of Yahoo and Google. Okay. Any time that the search returned more than 1,000 results, because both engines truncate at 1,000 results, those were thrown out. So it was only ones of less than 1,000 results. And they say, well, there should be a good twice as many results on the Yahoo search than the Google search.
Well, it's tough to double 800 when you cut off at 1,000.
Well, this is true. This is true. Regardless,
oh, snap.
Regardless, the... The results were quite interesting. The average search results, excluding duplicate results, Yahoo returned 14 results on average. Google returned 38.
That's not a very good index.
Yeah,
because it could be looser or tighter on what it returns.
Including
what's in the index.
Including duplicate results, yeah, Yahoo...
It still shows it.
Yahoo returned 22 and Google returned 64. In aggregate, Yahoo returned a total of 146,000 results over the 10,000 searches, while Google returned 390,000. So,
is more better?
Yeah,
I think they're trying to say that even if more isn't necessarily better. Those results are completely antithetical to Yahoo's claims.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to claim to be a better search engine, you want to not only index more pages, but you want to return more relevant results.
Yeah.
And that test doesn't show that, but I still doubt Yahoo's claims for the index.
Well, I'm sure they index 20 billion pages according to some method of accounting.
Right.
It's just whether that's the same that Google uses and whether it's useful at all.
It's definitely a useless claim. Although, you got to say, Google has slapped their index number on the front page forever, right? So if someone can slap a higher number, good on them.
Well, I mean...
I guess so.
It's...
I still use Google.
Me too. Regardless of the slapping.
Or maybe because of.
Interestingly, the estimated search results excluding duplicate results... The percent of actual results based on estimate... Google beat the hell out of Yahoo again.
And
so
how much hell was in Yahoo?
I would.
Well,
17.2%.
There isn't much more. You can go over to. Let's see. The web address was vburton.ncsa.uiuc.edu/indexsize.html. That's a little weird. Maybe you can find the link on /. Like I did.
Or try this Google thing. That might find it for you.
Yeah, see if Yahoo can find it.
Hey, good luck with that.
Yeah, go ahead and do your own. Okay, Dave, my buddy Dave Chun has an actual question, so hopefully one of you cats can answer. We don't have Dork Almighty Matt Menar with us tonight, so this may have to wait till next week. But let's see. Dave says that he is looking to move to a fully open source solution for mail scheduling, etc. And he says basically, I want to get rid of Outlook. I know there is Thunderbird and Sunbird, but I don't think there is any way to have it synced to my smartphone. I currently use a smartphone that runs MS, or I suppose the Microsoft smartphone, which uses ActiveSync to keep my schedule, mail, and tasks up to date. Do you guys know of any plug-in or add-on for Sunbird and Thunderbird which will let it sync with any sort of smartphone platform, that is smartphone, Palm, or Symbian Series 60?
Whoo!
No.
Yeah, I wish Dork Almighty was here. He might have a better clue, but I would, without any kind of more general answer, would be I don't think the open source is quite there with the integration yet, but you might be able to cobble some paths together for that. Syncing to your phone is not an impossible task. But I don't know that much about smartphones either. Sorry.
Thunderbird and Sunbird are the open source solutions in that arena. I mean, you got the right. Software there.
And yeah, I mean, Sunbird talks. I know a little bit of Sunbird talking VCS and ICS, which are the standards for calendaring. I would think you could find something. You could sync that to your phone in at least a beta stage out there in the world.
Hey, since we can't answer this question, you want to hear about a cool website I found?
Wait.
I'll tell you what, Drew,
you and Russ talk about the cool website you found. I am researching Dave's question.
Are you researching about emailing Matt?
Feverishly. I'm also researching about emailing Matt. Okay. No, I am trying to find... I actually already found something, but I will get to it. You go ahead and tell your story, and Dave, stay tuned. Hopefully, I'll have something for you.
And go.
The website I found was called evdb.com, Events and Venues Database. And it uses those standard formats to represent...
ICS and VCS.
Yes, to represent appointments and events. You know, all over the country or probably all over the world.
That's the hotness.
Yes, and you can get an RSS feed or you can send your RSS feed to them and do all kinds of cool stuff.
But I got to think that it's not yet inclusive because I know the venues I follow in town here in Cleveland, only one of them has a good feed of that.
Is it House of Blues? Because
it is the House of Blues.
If you go to evdb.com and type in Cleveland, you can get events from House of Blues, Jacobs Field, and Brown Stadium.
If you look at the...
And a few other things, I think.
Ancient recently updated Dialadork blog, you will see my discussion a little bit about the ICS and VCS, which is all prompted by my discovery of them on the House of Blues RSS feed.
Well, I think what EVDB did was pick up that feed.
And that's hot.
It's in there.
Yeah, I want every place I want to go to in Cleveland, the Beachland Ballroom, the Grog Shop, if you're listening, to...
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, absolutely. To get on board with the EVDB, because that is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I also, today, if we're going to talk RSS feeds briefly, a friend of mine forwarded a link about his little baby pictures on Flickr. And I was like, yeah, that's nice, little baby pictures. You know, I don't have a baby of my own. I can't talk baby puke with my friends yet. But I do want to keep up on my friend's baby pictures so that I don't seem like I don't care about them now that they've left the fold of the single losers. Anyway.
It's a cute baby, by the way.
It's a very cute baby. And the pictures have very funny captions. And they're cute. And all kinds of cute. And baby. And puke. And cute. Flickr has Adam and RSS feeds.
You know why babies are cute, by the way?
The puke?
So people don't leave them in trees.
If I had a baby and I didn't think it was cute, tree's not the first place I'd leave it.
If you're a hunter-gatherer, hunting and gathering. And
baby started. Oh, we just lost you.
Yeah, you dropped
out. We just lost you again.
Talk like you mean
okay.
It.
It's okay.
How do you know you lost me, by the way?
I'm listening.
I can see it.
Oh.
I'm listening. You can hear it.
Well, maybe I should be the one facing the level so that I can see when I'm gone.
Will you finish your story already?
Oh, it was just somebody at the office mentioning that's why babies are cute.
Gotcha. Well, why are babies edible?
Just in case.
In case you're stuck in a tree with one.
In case that investment doesn't pay off and you need to cash it in.
Fair enough.
Good Lord.
So, I don't know. Are you ready for presenting your results yet or no?
Well, I got more time. I need a couple more minutes. I gotta find one website and then.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna introduce a new Dialadork segment here, and I'm gonna start it by talking about myself. the segment is: what's the nerdiest thing you did this week?
Nerdiest thing or geekiest or dorkiest?
Dorkiest. However, the most embarrassing thing.
What's the
in the
what's the nerdiest thing
event?
Well, you know what. We got to pick one. Nerdiest. I think geekiest actually works.
Well, if we're going to stick with the dork theme, it should be the dorkiest thing you
did.
What's
the dorkiest thing you did this
week?
I like dorkiest and did. What's the dorkiest thing you did this week?
Dorkiest, there's a little alliteration.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump back to last week because I just remember this one. I wasn't here last week, so I feel free to share this. Last week, I installed a open source application called TrueCrypt, which is a free download. It implements something like 20 different encryption algorithms, whichever one you want to use, and it allows you to very seamlessly and easily create a file or an entire partition on a drive that is encrypted, via a password you set and mount it as a drive that you can then use as a complete drive for a source of, you know, source of your email, or if you just want to stick your passwords Excel file in there, you can do that. It's really pretty cool. And Bruce Schneer, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He plugged it, and his original program, Password Safe, was what he used to save his passwords in. Prompted me to follow that down because he also plugs this TrueCrypt. So I definitely suggest checking out TrueCrypt and creating yourself a 400 megabyte file on your hard drive, which you can then sync to your pen drive and keep all your stuff secret like you're in Cryptonomicon. That's pretty dorky, huh?
Yeah. I like it.
All right.
That's really dorky.
I'm going to pass the dork duchy on the left-hand side.
What is the dorkiest thing you did this week, Drew?
It's dorky, but it's not that impressive. I set up a email list for the family to communicate with one another. Because a lot of people don't have current email addresses for each other. And, you know, it's a lot of cousins, and it's hard to get in touch with everybody at once. So I just threw together a quick mailing list. It's actually not a mailing list. It's just a forwarder. So I made one email address that you mail to, and it explodes it out to, you know, the 30 email addresses or whatever it is.
And was this something at a domain you ran, or?
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, it was. And I worked on the Dalek.
On the Dalek?
Yes.
Yeah, that may count, too. That's been a while since you worked on the Dalek. Do we have a update on the Dalek?
That project is back on track.
It's back on track.
I've framed up the remaining segments of it, and I need to skin it and paint it, and then it's on to the fiddly bits.
It's skinnable?
Yes.
Wait, I didn't follow all your progress update, though. That didn't make sense to me, the words you used.
What words did I use?
You framed and skinned and something. Is the head done?
The head's nearly done.
Dalek head.
The bottom part is sort of in four sections vertically. The bottom part is done. The skirt is done. The head is nearly done. And then there's two parts in the middle, sort of the torso and the neck. And I framed up those, and that's just like the skeleton. And then it needs to have skin and paint and the details.
Interesting. Well, that's good.
So there's a lot left to do, but...
You'll keep us posted on the progress, won't you?
You should definitely put a link to both your page and to what the heck a Dalek is on the podcast link page.
Well, maybe we should have a quick couple minutes on a Dalek after I address Dave's.
What about the dorkiest thing you did this week?
Well, the dorkiest thing I think I did this week was I was...
Something with goat balls at the fair.
I don't know how dorky that was. Basically, I walked around the county fair, and I just simply admired the enormity of
the
farm
balls.
Animal testicles. They're just... It doesn't really matter what animal it is. In proportion to their body, they have enormous nuts. And, you know, I feel like my own simply don't compare.
Didn't compare them, did you?
Well, not there.
Okay.
But
let me whip this out.
I mean, you know, you've got a sheep that can't. The sheep probably weighs about as much as I do. But literally, I think I could fit my head inside of its scrotum.
You didn't do that either, did you?
I almost made it.
Before I was caught.
It kind of looked
apprehended.
Like,
really,
it kind of looked like the beginning of that Howie Mandel
the glove
surgical
bit?
Glove routine.
Yeah.
But
he blew a sinus doing that, you know.
I don't want to know what
he blew
what
out
or who he blew.
He blew out a sinus doing
he
that
did?
Bit. Yeah, he well, doesn't do it anymore.
That, well, duh. All right, Dave. I think I've got something here. Oh wait, but really the dorkiest thing I did. Was that I was working on a laptop hard drive, and I took the little taking the little adapter off, and I bent about eight of the IDE pins.
That's
and,
dorky.
And,
and
so then
he beat his wife because he was so upset.
Well, it was you know, now I can only work on computers when Yoko's not around. Actually,
yes, sir.
She No, so then I had to take a very small flathead screwdriver and slowly, very carefully, kind of bend them back enough so that I could get the adapter back on. So
I'm going to assume there was some data on that hard drive you didn't want to lose.
Well, I actually can't say what there was on the hard, what there is in the hard drive that I. Well, I don't want to lose any of it because it isn't mine. It's my client.
Oh, I see.
It's my client's. So there was that was that extra panic level. It wasn't just the sort of panic where I've lost all their documents, and there was also like, now I'm out, you know, $60, $70, $80 because I'm gonna have to buy another one and right. blah blah blah. So
it,
you know,
was the fear of your reputation.
You know, in the course of my professional life right now, every now and then I really do something unbelievably dumb.
Well, those are the fodder for Tales from the Dork Side.
Well, yeah, Tales from the Dork Side, indeed. I'll tell one. I'll tell one sometime, but. Now is not the time. I want to talk about Dave's problem. Dave, I am eager to answer your question, although not because I have the solution. I'm simply eager to answer your question because I've put it off long enough. What I have found, just for those of you who may have just tuned in, Dave's question is that he's looking for a way to sync his Palm or smartphone with Sunbird and Thunderbird, or some sort of open source, some sort of alternative,
some kind of birds,
some kind of something else other than Microsoft Outlook. Okay, Dave, there are things in the works, but there is no there's no real good finished project yet. Now, I want to say the first one big project that's been going on is something called Sync
Groupware?
Sync4j.
Oh. What's that?
Sync is S-Y-N-C, the number 4, letter J. It's, I guess, a Java-based, you know, group. It's like a Java-based hooks into the various, you know, mail and groupware-type clients to, you know, create conduits between them and other platforms.
So that's probably like a group
that's
of objects
down the
that
road.
Might help somebody who wanted to develop.
Yeah, and so
something
there,
like
and so somebody, you know, I found a
like
forum.
Drew could probably maybe.
Well, it'll probably come with a trivial wrapper that provides a reference implementation that you can just use for simple stuff, and then use the objects underneath it for embedding it in your own application.
Well, exactly, and I don't know how serious you are about this, Dave. That you would actually sit down and start doing real Java programming to get this to work. But people are saying they in fact, the Linux conference in France or whatever, people were talking about.
Damn Frenchies.
Yeah, well, people were definitely talking about building, you know, hooks for Sync4j hooks into Sunbird and Open Groupware and stuff like that. So there's definitely going to be, down the road, plenty of opportunities to ditch Outlook. But you're probably stuck.
But I can say from personal experience, when you wait for open source projects to fulfill your needs,
it's tough.
They take a while.
Yeah, and now
well,
here's,
it's
wait,
now
here's
they have
something
to reverse
else.
Engineer stuff. And
now,
it's
also because
well,
you're
wait for
scratching
stuff to come
your
out.
Own itch. You're waiting for someone else to scratch your
there's,
itch.
There's more, Dave. If you wanted to do a one-way sync from, say, your Sunbird or something like that to a Palm, not the other way around, so if you do most of your
calendar... not on Palm, he's on
well, whatever.
Yeah,
well, but the thing is I think there's a something called ICS, which is a some sort of generic... file type of
standard, yes, absolutely.
Standard file for these things.
That's the Mac standard, and the more global standard is VCS.
VCS, ICS. You can get a program called KCAL. That's KCAL.
That's probably Conqueror based.
Kilocalories.
Well, yeah.
Which is what calories really are.
I know.
There's also a radio station.
With a capital C.
KCAL. Listen to this. I'm gonna email this web address over to you. But here it is, right here: www.kyuran.be/world/html/article-51-0.html. Now I will email that to you, so don't worry.
Why don't you set up a tiny URL for that?
How about
Tiny
I just
Earl's blow.
How about I just email
blow?
It to him?
Blow why?
They're the worst thing you could ever send. Send it to a person at one time, fine, but if you share that on a mailing list, you're just breaking all archiving. Those things stick around forever?
I don't know how long they stick around.
Not as long as the original.
Maybe longer.
Well, that's not good either.
Are you guys done?
Why don't you put that link on the blogger?
I'm against
Are
Tiny
you guys
Earl.
Done with the bickering?
No.
Probably not, but go ahead.
But we got to yell at you for a while. Why don't you put that link on the blog?
Okay, hold on a second.
Do it.
I'm not
Do it now. Do it.
Stop
it. I will tase you.
That's illegal in this state.
Shut up. All right, look, the point is that, Dave, I just sent you that link. You can go and check out that program, KCAL. You might be able to figure out how to get it to work. There may be some information out there about people who have gotten it to work.
What's the full name of the project? Searching for it would obviously be easier than that URL.
It's just KCAL. I don't know.
KCAL, the Conqueror Calendar Project is what it's got to be.
Every time I search for KCAL, I come up with this radio station. Also, there's a website called Freeware PPC.
KCAL.
Freeware PPC
dash
is
free. Radio.
Could you relax for just a freaking second? FreewarePPC.com. God
that
damn it.
Was money.
FreewarePPC.com is a bunch of freeware for the pocket PC, so I don't know if that will help you either. But
that,
apparently there's quite a bit of stuff there, so maybe there's something there that could help you as well.
And
so,
God bless you, Dave.
You know,
and good night.
Yes, and Dave, if you have another question, please.
Do you have an easy question?
If you have an absolute an absolute softball grapefruit
question.
That's
the hardest question I've ever received at Dial-A-Dork. That was really a well-educated user asking a serious question.
Well, Dave's no fool.
I won't have any more of it.
This Dave at one time, I believe, was some sort of a project manager at Sony. I believe he was also
he sold a bunch of monitors to Kennedy.
To Cape Kennedy. I believe he was his own boss for a while. He attempted to write and direct and produce his own feature film, which Code Pink, I believe, was the name.
Interesting.
Now, don't make that face.
He should maybe tell it to Bravo.
Well, no, God damn it. It's not about that, okay?
Well, then he picked a poor name.
No, a Code Pink, I believe, is a baby napping at a hospital. They yell Code Pink.
I don't believe that for a second.
All right, fine. It's all about, the movie was all about makeovers.
Sweet.
No, okay, seriously. I believe it was.
I'd watch that.
I actually read the entire screenplay. It was about a baby napping. And I don't mean a baby taking a nap. I mean a
like
kidnapping a kidnapping of a baby.
Oh. That ain't cool.
Well, it kind of provided some of the drama, you know. Some of the characters getting a little bit upset.
What was the tone of the movie? Was it a drama? Was it more of a comedy?
No, it was pretty much straight up drama all the way. It's drama with some chase scenes and things.
Code Pink, that's kind of a comedic name.
I don't know how to respond to that.
One listener.
How about Pink Hawk Down?
What was it?
Pink Hawk Down?
Would that be a better name? No.
Fade to
Maybe.
Pink.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, look. Now I believe that Dave and his lovely wife Jerry, whose wedding I was honored to attend in Santa Monica, J E R R I, he and his wife are putting together their own business, and I'd love to. Dave, email me with the website again. I'd love to give it a shout out.
It could be the YWOW.
Yeah. In fact, it'll be our YWOW.
The Yiddish word of the week.
Well, you know what? We'll have one of those too. The Yiddish word of the week is nosh. N-O-S-H, nosh.
G-N-O-S-H.
Nosh is a verb and a noun. It means snack. So you can either snack, as in to snack, or you can either have a snack. So you can nosh or you can have a nosh.
Is there any connotation? Because it sounds like it pretty much literally means snack.
Yeah, why do we need another word for snack?
The connotation is small. A small...
What's
a bite to eat.
A snack.
There is no what's the connotation of a snack? It's a little bit to eat.
Well, snack means what a snack means, but
yeah,
okay,
so we don't need
another
word.
Literally snack.
Well, anyway, Dave.
There's no shading to that translation.
Dave and his wife are putting together a
maybe
phenomenal.
Maybe it's a kosher snack.
Probably.
Well, this is probably an assumption, but I don't think that's built into the word. I mean, if I said, "How about you know, do you have anything to nosh on?" and they brought
sure,
out
sure ham jerky.
They brought out some shrimp cocktail. I'd be noshing like a mofo on that shrimp.
And he'd be burning
noshing like a Gentile.
I'd be noshing like a Gentile. All right. So basically, Dave and his wife are putting together this website, which I believe is designed to place nurses. In I guess temporary positions or substitute nurses.
Oh.
This is my
that's interesting.
This is my recollection. I only took a brief look at it about a month and a half ago or 2 months
is
ago.
Is Jerry a nurse?
Jerry was a nurse.
Is Jerry short for geriatric?
J-E-R-R-I, not G-E-R-I.
Is she hot?
don't kick my ass, Dave, but I think she's pretty cute, yeah.
Well, good to know. We'll have pictures on the website later.
I don't suppose Dave would want me to you know, say his wife. I don't think, I mean, it's kind of a weird situation. I mean, you don't want your wife to be thought of as unattractive, do you?
But not particularly doable either.
Well, no, I mean, you kind of want to walk that fine line between, like, you know, my wife's totally hot and keep your filthy hands off of her.
I think I would be all right with people saying my wife was hot.
I told one of my friends that I wanted to have sex with his wife.
That may not
that
be the way
that may have crossed the line.
Well, the thing about it is he got really mad at me. And he was really mad at me, and he totally would not let me have sex with his wife. And he was really, really pissed at me until then I found out later that he did the same thing to me, except he bypassed me altogether and just told my wife he wanted to have sex with her. So I think, which is worse? I think what he did was worse.
Are you part of a swinging cult?
No.
Some of that's really...
I think what it is, I'm friends with some real a-holes.
Well,
present company not accepted. Okay, so anyway, yeah, Dave, send over that website address. Oh,
I think Dave might have emailed or lost another friend.
Oh, wait a minute. Dave says, sorry, I can't keep listening. You've offended me and I'll never listen again. Oh, okay, just kidding. I've been listening from work. I got to get home. I'll probably tune in next week. Hopefully I'll come up with an easier question for next week. You guys are hilarious. Give Dory a high five for me. Peace. That's from Dave Chun there, babe.
What's
Dory
a high
is
five?
Making a flyby right now.
What's a high five? A high five is when you hold your hand up in the air above your head.
No, that's a Turkish
with your palm
high five.
Outstretched, and you slap your hand against another person's palm in a similar position. Who's
so just a regular high five.
Yeah.
It didn't mean anything.
He wanted me to give her a five alive because she isn't getting enough vitamin C. Or maybe even a sunny D.
A sunny D has to be a euphemism.
I think a sunny D sounds like something sexual.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then I gave her the five alive, followed by a sunny D.
I turned her over.
I turned her over and gave her the sunny D.
How about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Oh, yeah. I think we should just stop the show right now. Yeah,
we're definitely explicit this week.
can't do any better than that.
Maybe we're implicit.
Isn't that better?
I think we're implied. Implied lyrics.
We're inferred.
That's
I think we should
Poppy
infer.
The guard dog.
Poppy the guard dog. Vicious beast.
Hey, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was somebody put out a 10 best resources for CSS, and I know this discussion isn't going to be nearly as lively
do
as
you mean cross-site scripting or cascading style sheets?
Well, what do you think I mean?
Crosby, Stills, and Sash.
Isn't that the gay cover band?
Crosby, Stills, and Swish.
Crosby, Stills, and Sash is a new trio formed of David Crosby, Stephen Stills, and Miss America.
Nice.
Okay, so
I
think it's cascading style sheets. Cascading
style
sheets?
That is the layout, yes,
okay.
Definition.
Would you like, Russ, because I know you have a great deal of familiarity with CSS.
I have a firm grasp upon CSS.
Okay, terrific. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's in your fist there.
Well, we keep threatening, but one day we will bring down the man with the firmest grip in Cleveland, that Eric Meyer guy. We got to get him on the phone someday.
Eric Meyer?
Yeah. He is a acknowledged guru of CSS. Lives right here in Cleveland. CSS. It's a great new tool. Not new. It's only it's underutilized. How about if I put it that way?
Well, CSS is one of those things that if you surf the internet, you see it every day on almost every web page you go to, but you have no idea. This is one of those underlying technologies that is totally, almost completely pervasive now.
I don't know if it is.
And it's something that if you intend to do any kind of web development at all, especially if it's
Doesn't make the web pages you see. It makes the web pages you see better.
It's kind of like the BASF of web dev.
Yeah. So in the old school days, for the people that hadn't heard of it, you made your web pages with HTML. And the browsers knew how to lay out that HTML and make it look how it looked. And there was very one-to-one correspondence of how each tag looked. Maybe a little deviation between browsers. Well, in the new days, you lay out your web page with HTML, or better, XHTML, which is sort of a loosening of the HTML definition.
I think it's a tightening.
It might be a tightening. I don't know. We could debate that one, but...
Is it one of those things where you tighten the screw so much that you actually kind of ruin the threads and then it just gets loose?
Maybe. It's an XML compliant version of HTML.
Yes, but HTML was XML compliant as well.
No, it wasn't.
I think it might have been.
You could leave tags unclosed.
SG.
Yes.
HTML. Anyway, okay. So CSS can give you, on both HTML and XHTML, change the layout of a page. And it gives you a lot of ability to separate your content from your actual layout and
give an example.
How things look.
Well, so in other words, you know, typically, if anyone's done any HTML, you know precisely when you use the tag H1, it is
for a top level header.
Top level header or just big giant letters. You're just going
to
get.
Well, you're supposed
to
use it for a top level header.
Well, that's
some people use
means.
It to get giant letters.
Well, yeah, but you know what it's going to look like.
Yes.
Okay. You at least you have some idea. Well, you can actually with CSS, you can make a, as long as you reference the CSS file that you are creating in your web page. So at the top of your web page, you say, "Oh, and by the way, I want you to use this cascading style sheet file that I've created when interpreting this HTML code." You can actually define exactly what H1 is going to look like. You can make it bigger. You can make it smaller. You can make it a different font. You can make it a different color. You can do this. You can make an alignment, perhaps, or all kinds of various things that you can do. So you can actually customize. And then you can, if you want to use the regular H1, you can override that, I believe.
And that way, when you separate it like that, H1 actually means top first level heading. And then the gigantic text, if you choose to go with that, is accidental. It's what you choose to display their first level heading.
The browser has its own CSS style sheet for what basic unstyle sheeted stuff means. You can override it as a web developer, and in the theory, users can override it with what they want an H1 to look like. If they happen to be differently sighted or non-sighted or whatever. There's a lot of accessibility things that go along with CSS as well.
Is everything basically up for grabs with CSS? I mean, is there a tag that you cannot override or change the definition?
No, well, some of the basic ones, like the HTML tag that begins an HTML file.
Okay, sure. Or like body.
But those
or
don't have
meta
layout
or,
meanings.
Right.
But the ones that actually affect what's on the screen, just about every single, even like paragraph, even the paragraph
especially
tag.
Especially paragraph.
You can change. And absolutely. You can, you know, you could make it like Verdana while, you know, everything else is Times New Roman or whatever. Whatever you want to do. You know, you can have a clever, you know, different background color, different text color, all kinds of things to customize. And I think the beauty of it is that when you make a website that has a number of pages, this ensures that, you know, each page is going to kind of look like the other and have a similar...
Because it cascades,
mm-hmm. and you all you have to do is... all that has to happen is all these pages simply reference the same CSS file, and right. They all retain a certain thematic continuity.
If you've ever authored actual HTML and you wanted to change your header into a different font and a different color, you used a font tag. And those are one of the worst things that could litter your content with markup. You got a font inside every table cell to make every header look the same way.
Right.
Whereas if you just make all your headers look something with CSS, it applies everywhere.
There you go.
All of a sudden, your content is no longer just filled with markup that is only relevant to the layout.
Right.
Which, by the way,
semantic web
is how it's supposed to be. Because when you say font, you're really just suggesting what you want it to be, because it's up to the browser on the other end to actually display it. And if the user goes in and changes, like under the view menu, I think he can say larger or smaller on the font size.
That's right.
That's going to override what you put in there anyway.
Sure.
So when you say font, you're really not specifying the physical attributes of the font. But with CSS, you are.
This is true.
Yeah, it's a, sort of the war between the users and the authors, because artists really want the web to look exactly how they design it.
Yeah.
And users sometimes need it to look a little different.
So, look, if you're interested in finding out more about CSS and possibly implementing CSS, over at a website called SitePro News, SitePro News, SitePro News, their July 20th feature article is the 10 best resources for CSS. And they look pretty good. And I think if you were to use some of those links, I think you would very quickly find everything you need to begin implementing CSS in your web projects and start saving yourself an awful lot of trouble and start making your website, I think, look a heck of a lot better than you ever thought possible. And a lot easier, too. So I think you'll be absolutely thrilled at what you can do with CSS if you're willing to just put in it just takes a couple of hours, I think, to just start to learn what the it'll be obvious to you almost immediately what the true power of CSS is.
If you've been authoring, absolutely.
We got about 5-10 more minutes left in the show. Let's talk about this article here in Wired News. There was a new worm or virus or whatever you want to call it came out today. The Zotab virus. And there's been a flurry of security patches coming out from Redmond from Microsoft operating systems. So, you know, I'd have to say I'd install them if I were you.
Are they out? Should we do a Windows update tomorrow?
Well, I would definitely.
I got some yesterday, actually.
I got some yesterday also, and I would definitely do one today and tomorrow and for the next couple of days just to see because.
Well, honestly, you should have your auto update downloading your patches for you. And then
well,
you
that's
install
true.
Them when you want.
Yeah, in fact, if you go to. If you have Service Pack 2, you can. You know, a good way to get to all that kind of stuff is just go to the. Well, just go to the control panel. And in there is a icon for automatic updates, and you have some choices. You can either have them download and install for you automatically, which I actually really don't recommend because it will reboot your computer for you. So unless...
At any random time.
My web server rebooted itself because I was an idiot and I didn't turn off the automatic install. But if you really do like that, at 3 in the morning, whenever there's an update, it'll download it and install it and reboot your system. So just as long as you save your work and everything else, should be no problem. You can also just have it... What I like is it just downloads them automatically and tells you they're ready to install. And you go ahead and install them.
I really like that feature a lot.
Yeah, so I would set that up so that it doesn't install automatically, but it does download it. And definitely, that's a control panel automatic updates. But this new Zotab virus apparently is...
Bad news? Is it bad news? I don't know anything about this.
It connects to a specific IRC server and gives hackers remote control over infected systems. So probably a way to create
more zombies.
Create
sounds
more zombies.
Bad.
And that's not good.
Ain't no one want to be a zombie.
Well, and the reason that what we mean by zombies is that a great deal of the spam and a great deal of viruses and things like that are distributed by zombie computers, which aren't, you know, they may be computers in use by people, but
real
they
live
have,
people.
They have no idea what's going on, that their computer is actually functioning as a distribution point for... all sorts of nasty little things.
So it installs a little invisible program that the user's not aware of.
This is what I'm
that
saying.
That does its dirty work.
It probably does degrade performance somewhat.
It,
and it
probably does. Eats a little
does
of your bandwidth.
Things to other people.
Eats a little of your bandwidth and might cost you your internet connection for a while if your ISP gets wind of it and shuts you down. So you definitely want to be aware. This is why things like firewalls are so important. Firewalls do an awful lot to prevent people from getting unauthorized access to your computer. And so that's why they're so important, because you really don't want your computer to be one of those zombies out there wreaking so much havoc on the internet world. Wouldn't you say, fellas?
That would make you a bad netizen.
Yeah, so that'd make you, I don't know about a bad netizen, but maybe a complacent one. Complacent.
It's like not voting in your local school board elections.
There you go. Complacency is a breeding ground for for a lot of bad things to happen. You know, it unfortunately nowadays, and probably for quite a many more years in the future,
people won't vote in the school board
elections. You need to be vigilant. You need to be vigilant when you're an internet user. Okay, when you have a broadband connection, you need to be vigilant. You need to.
It's still the Wild West.
It is still the wild, wild west out there. On the, it's more like the information Santa Fe Trail, not the information highway.
Oregon Trail.
Okay. Because
gotta be the Oregon Trail.
You've got to take care of yourself. You got to have
your
a firewall.
Oxen have
you
died.
Got to have antivirus. You got to have a spam filter. You got to have a firewall. You need to have up. You know, make sure
you're your own Donner Party.
Your what?
Donner Party.
Diner Party.
Donner.
Speaking of Diner. I don't even
Donner.
Know.
Donner.
What's Donner?
The Donner Party?
I don't know what a Donner... Should I know?
Google it.
I find that really hard to believe, but go on. What were you saying about diners?
Grumpy's.
And is it open?
Relax. It's not open yet.
Oh.
But they're going to reopen at a new location right next to Lincoln Park Pub.
Who's Grumpy's?
Grumpy's was a...
The least greasy spoon I've ever been at. It's
a
awesome.
Wonderful, wonderful little cafe diner place that was on... oh, golly. On Literary, I do believe, at the corner of Literary and Thurman. And it was a little place that they baked their own bread and their own desserts and all kinds of stuff.
Chicken
and they had
burritos.
Great food.
Oh.
Phenomenal. Very spicy home fries or hash browns. Home fries, really. Spicy ones, too. It was interesting.
Fantastic hours.
Well, then the hours were one of the greatest things ever was... They'd be open for dinner and they would close at like 11, but then on Friday and Saturday nights, they would reopen.
After the bars.
At 2 a.m. and stay open until 4 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights for people coming out of the bars after last
awesome.
Call. And
awesome.
It was a great place and had great food and it burned to the ground basically about
That's a crazy.
Year ago or something. And they just were never able to raise the money to repair the building, so instead they've moved to a new location. Same neighborhood, new location.
I never liked the atmosphere or the ambiance there.
No, it was a hole in the wall, and it
even when they painted up nice, it was too. The chairs were too nice. I didn't like that place.
I guarantee it's going to be nicer because they're redoing that
a
whole
great chef.
Building.
Grumpy was the chef. I met him before at Lincoln Park and other places down here in Cleveland, and great guy and great food.
Terrific food.
They will continue that, I'm sure, in the new location.
I'm very excited. I don't know when they're going to open, but the windows have little signs on them that says, you know, Grumpy's Cafe is coming or whatever, like something like that. Next to Lincoln Park Pub, I think, is a great location because you can get people coming out of there. And you can get people coming out of Lava Lounge and maybe even the occasional person coming out of
Starkweather.
La Tortilla. Oh, the Starkweather. That's right.
I live next door to a guy that works there or owns it or something.
Well, the Starkweather at the corner of Starkweather and Scranton is...
Scranton.
They're redoing the whole... They redid the whole place, put up the plate glass. It's kind of a...
Another new kitchen going to open soon.
That's right. It's kind of in the mold of the Southside Cafe, actually.
Well, that place used to be Trinka's, right? I ate there once and it was Trinka's.
I think it was actually always called the Starkweather.
Well, okay. It said Trinka's or something on the outside.
Trinka's?
And they had it in...
Really? Okay.
Maybe. They had it in Drew Carey or something like that.
Well, okay. I mean, the point is that they put up big plate glass windows. They got plasma screen TVs in there.
Ooh.
They built a patio.
Ooh.
The patio's not open yet, but
I
saw their menu at the Taste of Tremont, and it looked pretty impressive.
That's what I hear.
Pretty impressive. Looked like really affordable, upscale pub fare.
I dig it.
Yeah, so I think
come
that's
on down
be exciting
to Tremont.
Too.
We got a lot of options.
Tremont is blowing up, and this weekend is a ballet in the park. It's free. You can see the Ohio Ballet
Code Pink.
In. gosh dang it!
You can't make us that cultured all at once. Come
well,
on.
Look,
now.
All I'm saying is, if you ever wanted to see the ballet for free because you didn't want to spend money on that claptrap, you can go see it in Lincoln Park for free this weekend.
Lincoln Park is a roller coaster.
Excuse me.
That's from the.
Google it.
Yeah,
I'm tired of Googling stuff for you, man.
Lincoln Park is a roller coaster.
All right, so what do you say we wrap up tonight's show? What do you think, boys? Is it a good show tonight?
I think it's good, and there's more beers upstairs.
More beers upstairs. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Dave, for listening to our ice cast. We really
God
do appreciate it.
God bless you, Dave.
God bless David Chun and his lovely wife, Jerry. And best of luck with their website. And, Dave, please email us with that. We will announce it next week on the show. And hopefully that is a huge success for you guys, and you don't have to work hard anymore. So that's it. Thank you very much for tuning to Dial a Dork. You can visit our website, dialadork.com. It's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. And you can listen to this show on archive sometime, oh, I don't know, tomorrow or Wednesday or whatever. We'll get the podcast up there. So if you're podcasting, you can listen to it. And,
well, of course, good questions. Email us over the week.
Absolutely. If you think of a question, email us during the week. We will attack it. Hopefully better than we did on Dave's question today.
Give us some warning. We'll research.
And
I swear.
All we ask is that your question be really, really easy. Okay, that's it. All right. Thank you very much for listening. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
And we are out of here.
Get all those pimps together. It was live.